everything be all right. That's the truth. I know that to be so. I know it to be so. And I'm going to talk tonight, take a few minutes, and deal with the subject, unbelief in a believer. Unbelief in a believer. David is a man after God's own heart. But here we find him overcome with unbelief. God had promised him that he'd be king. And Saul even knew this. Look what he said in verse 25 of chapter 26. Then Saul said to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt do great things and also shalt prevail." So David went his way and Saul returned to his place. And here he enters into a very, very dark time in his life. He spent 16 months down here among the Philistines. Very, very dark period in his life. But he is overcome with unbelief here. Look what he said there in verse 1. And David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand." Well, what is unbelief? What is unbelief? It's a failure to believe what God has promised. It's a failure to believe what God has promised. It's born of fear. It's born more of fear than it is anything else. When Paul told the Hebrews, when he wrote to Hebrews, he said, we got all these people compassed about us, all these people of faith. They're all looking at us. We see all these people of faith. And he says, so let us lay aside every weight and the sin. He didn't say a sin, the sin. The sin. Looking unto Jesus, the author, not finisher of our faith. So I thought of this today. Now, whether it's so or not, I don't know. But where he's talking about all these people who are great heroes of the faith. And he comes down to say, you know, that lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Since he's talking about these people of faith, what sin, what would be the sin that would so easily beset us? If it wouldn't be unbelief. He's talking about faith and then the sin that so easily besets us. And then he goes on to talk about how that, you know, in patience, you know, you just wait in patience because the Lord that will come, he won't tarry. He will come. He will come. And so it's born of fearing. And here's what David said. He said in his heart, that's what he said, said in his heart, I shall perish at the hand of Saul. Now listen. He had spared Saul twice. He had done spared Saul's life twice. He could have killed him twice. And his men wanted to do it for him. And God had delivered him time and time and time again. But he said in his heart, and that's where he got in trouble. He looked in his own heart for answers. He looked in his own heart as to what to do. What he was doing is he was thinking. Abraham went to Egypt and denied Sarah being his wife. Lot went into Sodom. And when we start scheming some way in the flesh, it'll always, always end up in trouble and darkness and depression. It'll always do that. It'll always do that. And he says this, he says here in verse 1, "Nothing better for me than escape into the land of Philistines, so I shall escape out of his hand." And then he says, "Saul shall despair of me." He won't look for me anymore. Now, when he said, "I'm going to escape," what's he going to escape? What is he looking to escape? If you and I was going to escape something, what would we escape? People want to escape a marriage sometimes. They want to escape a trouble. They want to escape a trial. They want to escape something that's going on in their life, and so they start figuring out a way to get out of it. afraid to get out of it. But oh my God, help us never. Oh please, Lord, don't never let us try to escape from your providence and your grace and your mercy and your guidance in our life. But that's what David did. And God had anointed him. God had saved him. And when we want to escape a situation we're in, escape our troubles. A lot of people use a lot of different things to escape with. They'll use drugs. They'll use alcohol. They'll use divorce. They'll use all kinds of things to escape the situation that they're in. David said, I need to go escape so Saul will despair of me. And what David thought here in his heart was simply not true. God had anointed him. There was no evidence that he was going to be better for him to go down into the Philistines and go down there among the Lord's enemies. It was contrary to God's providence, especially concerning the sure mercies of David. You know, David, God gave him some sure mercies, made him promises, anointed him when he was just a lad. Went into his house and Samuel anointed him with oil in the presence of all his brothers and his dad. And it was contrary to God's providence. God had some sure mercies of David. And I'm telling you what, beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, you know where the sure mercies of David's found? Found in David's son. That's where the sure mercies, not sure mercies of David himself, but the sure mercies in David's blessed son. That's where the sure mercies are at. And I tell you what, it was unbelief. When he says this here, you know, nothing better for me to escape. It was unbelief. What he was saying was, I cannot trust the promises of God. I can't trust. I cannot trust the promises of God. And that was contrary to what he said before. Look what he says over here in Psalm 27. Look what he says in Psalm 27, verse 1. David thought, I need to escape, go down to the land of the Philistines, so David would spare despair of me. But what David thought was not true. Going down to the Lord's enemies? Going down to the Philistines? No evidence that he was going to be able to escape God's providence, God's mercies. But it was unbelief. Look what he said here in verse 1, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Well, he was afraid of Saul. He said, I shall perish one of these days by the hand of Saul. He hadn't perished by the hand of Saul yet. And Saul had been hunting for him for three years. And twice he threw javelins at him and hunted him like a partridge on the mountainside, but never did catch him. David caught Saul a couple of times. But Saul never come close to getting David. So what he was thinking was not true. It wasn't true. It's just unbelief. And it was contrary to the facts that he was dealing with. What was going on in God's providence to make David king? That's what was... It was contrary. God was working out his providence to set David on the throne. And down here, you know, we'll see in a minute where he went into Ziklag. And Ziklag became a tribe of Judah, and David was of the tribe of Judah. And I tell you something else. The death of Saul in God's providence was already determined. David himself said that in the last message I brought, where he was betrayed twice. And he said, Saul will, one of these days he'll die. God will either kill him or he'll get killed in battle, but he's going to die. And that's when he's strong in faith. Now he's running. This unbelief in this man. Unbelief. And the day and Saul, we'll see him dying in the 28th chapter here. So let me ask you a question. How could David, a saved man, God's anointed man, how could this man have this unbelief and do what he did? Go down to the Philistines. How could he do it? Well, I think I got an answer. I hope I do. He was a man like you and me with two natures. Two natures. He had two natures. You know, Galatians 5:17, I've quoted to you so many times. The flesh, this old nature, lust, wars against that new nature. The flesh lusts against the spirit. And the spirit wars against the flesh. And they're contrary one to the other. And they're butting heads all the time. And Paul said this. He said, with my mind I serve the law of God, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. He said, I see a war in my members. And then he cried out, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Not that I'm going to be. Not that I was. Not that I'm going to overcome. Oh, wretched man that I am right now. That's an apostle talking. He had this war going on in his breast. Had this war going on in his mind. Had this war going on in his heart. Had this war going on in his soul. And that's like the man, he said, Lord, oh Lord, I believe. I do believe. But would you please, please help my unbelief? Huh? And old Simon Peter, when he was out there walking on the water, he is strong, felt good. Oh my. Nobody else had ever walked on the water but the Lord Jesus Christ. And he come to them walking on the water, and he stepped out and started walking on the water. And he was like David. This flesh got the upper hand in him. And he said, Lord, oh Lord, save me, or I perish. And how many times have we said that in our lifetime? Lord, save me or I perish. You see, that new man believes. He always believes. When you're sitting here tonight, you believe. But that old man, that old nature that we have, he never believes. He's fighting you tooth and nail while you sit and listen to the gospel. Pick up a Bible, he'll start fighting you. Try to watch a message on television or something like that, he'll fight you. He don't want you to have a spiritual thought if he can keep you from it. That new man, he believes. Oh, how he believes. But that old man, he don't never believe. And there are times it appears like the old man has the upper hand in a man's life. You followed me around, and I'll tell you what, you see evidence of it. I'm telling you, said that, and I hope you understand what I'm saying. But even at my age, there's many times that I wake up in the night, my sins that I committed when I was a boy, when I was a teenager, when I was a young man, and since I've been a preacher, that they climbing over one another to see which one's the worst. And I lay there asking God to have mercy on me and forgive me. Which I know He's already forgiven me, but it's so acute to my soul. I hope you understand what I'm saying. And look over here in Exodus 17. That old man sometimes seems to have the upper hand. Look in Exodus 17. See what happens. See how these people over here act. Look what it says in verse 1. And all the congregation, now God done give them manna from heaven. Done gave them food from heaven. Done that for them. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeyings according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink when they got there. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, angry with Moses, troubled Moses, aggravated Moses, and said, give us water that we may drink. Where in the world is Moses going to get water? Where's Moses going to get water? People bring me my water set up here. We can go to the faucet and get water. But when they said, Moses, give us some water. Moses didn't give them bread from heaven. But they're aggravated at Moses. Give us some water, Moses. And he said, why chide with me? Wherefore tempt ye the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, where is this that thou hast brought us up? Now listen to what they said now. Brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, our children, and our cattle with thirst. You just brought us up here to kill us. You gonna kill us, you gonna kill our children, you gonna kill our cattle, and you gonna kill everybody. God gave men from heaven, didn't they? You think this flesh ain't rotten? Oh, it's rotten. It is rotten. That'd be like you all asking me to give you the water of Christ. That woman at the well said, are you greater than our father Jacob who dug this well? He said, if you knew who it was and asked you, you would have asked of him, and he'd give you a drink of living water. You'd never thirst again. And it didn't come out of this well called Jacob's either. Oh my. And David is in a very, very, very dark period. I know everybody at some times in their life will go through a dark period. Some, according to how long it lasts. Sometimes it lasts a long time. Sometimes it lasts a few days. Sometimes it lasts months. I've had it last for months. I know a man right now that there's darkness in his life, and he nobody knows it. People have these things. But what this dark period in his life was, he had his information from his own heart. That's a long place to look for information. Look over here with me in Proverbs 28. Mark this in your Bible and remember this verse of scripture. I could quote it to you. I could quote it to you. A fool trusts in his own heart, but I want you to look at it. I want you to mark it. I want you to remember it, because I remember it, and I'm telling you what. Proverbs 28:26. David's in a very dark period. And his problem was that he said in his heart. Look what he said in verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And that's what David did. Next time you're trying to figure out what to do, don't do like David. Don't look in your heart. You know what? I believe it was Todd said this. When you look in your heart, look in yourself, and look for evidences, you'll get down, you'll get discouraged, and you'll get depressed. But the minute you quit looking there and look to Christ, that goes away just like that. Mm-hmm. Ain't that right? Yeah. So we're not to look to our thoughts. Our thoughts. Oh my. Naaman thought. Simon the sorcerer thought. The Pharisees thought within themselves. We're not to look to our thoughts. We're especially not to look to our feelings. Oh, our feelings. Sometimes we feel just absolutely wonderful, and other times we don't feel so good. I sometimes leave this pulpit so down that I can't hardly hold my head up. Other times I leave here just bubbling over with joy. Does that make my standing with God or make my situation with God any different? No. Our feelings come and go. But the Word of God, that abides forever. And we should never, and God help us not to look to our circumstances. Circumstances is you're standing, you have a stance somewhere, and the things that's going on around you, that's what circumstances are. What's going on around you? And that's the stance you're in, and everything that's around you, it's a circle around you, and your circumstances. And my circumstances seem to be against me. Everything, see, that's what Jacob said. He said, everything seems to be against me. Everybody but God. He's the only one said, God said, Jacob have a loved and Esau have a hated. He said, everything's against me. Oh. But I tell you what we are to look to. The Word of God. Look to the Word of God. Look what God says. Look what God says. That's where my mind, and I know other people's, that's where my mind goes whenever I have something going on in my life or anybody else's life that I'm talking to. And my mind automatically goes to the Scriptures. I just think that way. Todd thinks that way. Bruce thinks that way. I know other people, and some of you do that. Whenever you're in some situation, your mind automatically goes to what God said, to a verse of Scripture. Because you certainly don't want to be left to your own thoughts or feelings or circumstances. What did God say? What did God say? And I'll tell you one that blesses my heart so much. He said, cast your cares upon Him. Amen. Why? Because He careth for you. Oh, bless His name. And I tell you something. Failure usually follows success. When you have a real successful thing, it won't be long before failure set in. And he behaved so nobly in this chapter 26 when he went down in that camp and he took that spear and that water and he stood up there. And he said, look here. Look here. And he said, here, come send somebody over here and you can have your spear back. And when somebody does something right, like David did, and then he goes around and does what he does, and said, I got to escape into the land of the Philistines. So Saul will not look for me anymore. He'll despair of looking for me. And then he had this great success. Now a failure follows. And if he was able to do right, and if you and I are able to do a right thing, you know what? We'd be so proud of it. Be proud of it. But pride cometh before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Let me give you a couple other things about David before we look at some of these verses together. He's also been exposed to a long, long, long trial of Saul hunting him, after him, hunting him. He called him like hunting for a partridge. We know when you go hunting, you take a gun with you and you try to kill whatever you're after. Well, that's what David said. You're hunting me. I go over here, you come over there. I go over here, you go over there. Everywhere I go, you're after me, hunting me. And oh, he'd been exposed to a very, very long trial of Saul hunting him to take his life. And here's another thing we don't read about David in this particular situation. We don't read of David praying. We don't read of him seeking the Lord before this happens. And you know David usually prayed. You know, so many times before he'd ever undertake anything, he would ask to bring the ephod here. And he'd say, Lord, if I go down here, you want me to go here? You want me to go there? And he'd always pray. David said, in one place I sought you morning, noon, and night. But not this time. Not this time. But he didn't find him praying. He simply said, he said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Nothing better for me than to speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Get down there very quickly. So Saul shall despair of me and not seek me anymore in the coast of Israel. So, okay, let's look in verse 2. Let me make just a few comments and say some things. And David arose and passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. Now this is the second time that he's encountered Achish. He's the king of Gath. You know who was from Gath? Goliath was from Gath. So David had seen this king before. Remember when they had their camps pitched to one another and that old big giant walked out there every day? And then David went down there with one stone and slew the giant of Gath. So they knew who David was, and David knew who Achish was. And oh, he said, he goes there and he comes into the presence of Achish, and that's where Goliath was from. And you know what Achish means? It means just a man. Just a man. Here's David, the king, man after God's own heart, a saved man, going down here seeking safety from frail flesh just like himself. Huh? That was a very, very foolish thing to do. Can a believer do that? David did. And I'll tell you something, all God's got to do is just leave me and you alone. And it'd be... with us seeking the Lord, it's awful the trouble we get into and us seeking the Lord. Is that right? We get into some pretty bad trouble and us trusting Him. But oh God, if He leaves us to ourselves, ain't no telling where we'll go and what we'll do. Huh? And then look what happens here. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household. Every man had their family with them. 600 men, and they all had family, children, households. David had two wives. And it was told, in verse 4, and it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought him no more again for him. So David thought, I must have done the right thing. It worked. Saul ain't after me anymore. Saul's not coming. And you know, whenever you do something wrong and fleshly thinking, you follow your flesh and follow your own heart, that flesh always has a way of justifying itself. Mm-hmm. Always does. Justifying. The ends justify what I did to get there. You ain't never done that. I ain't either. But I ain't going, no, I'm just, you know better than that. You know better than that. No, I tell you what, it's... I'm going to say this just as an aside. We'll quit preaching and say something. You know, we like to measure people in our bushel basket. Like to measure them in our basket. And then when they start measuring us, we start getting aggravated. We start getting... frustrated. We start trying to justify ourselves. And we'll make our basket even smaller than theirs. Oh, we're a mess, ain't we? Ain't you thankful? Ain't you thankful for the grace of God given us in Christ? Amen. And I'm so grateful for it. Now look how David addressed a heathen king now. Look how David addresses a heathen king. Verse 5 and 6. David said unto Achish. Now listen to this. He's talking to a heathen king. If I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. Why would he say such a thing before? If I found grace in your eyes. And why should I, then listen to this. Why should thy servant cause himself a servant to a heathen king? Why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. And boy, there's this real story behind this we'll deal with soon. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah. Now I want you to look what it says here now. And in verse 7, in that time David dwelt in the country of the Philistines a full year and 4 months. 16 months he stayed down there. Stayed down there among the Lord's enemies. And I want you to notice what David does now. And David and his men went up and invaded the Jezreelites, the Gerizzites, the Amalekites, those nations that God told them to drive them all out of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even down to the land of Egypt. He went out and started invading those places that God told him to drive them out. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen, the asses, the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Shared the spoil with him. And Achish said, whither have you made a road today? Now listen to what David says now. And David said, against the south of Judah. He didn't go against the south of Judah. No. And against the south of the Jeremites. And against the south of the Kenites. And look why he says this. David, listen to what David said. And David said that neither man nor woman alive to bring back tidings, to go tell them in Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David. And listen to this. And so will his manner all the while he dwelt in the country of the Philistine. He was killing the Lord's enemies when he was dwelling in the land of the Philistines. But he told the Philistines that he was invading Israel. Now that's what happens when unbelief gets a hold of you. It gets from bad to worse. And then he says, and this will be his manner all the time he dwells in the country of the Philistines. Now look what old Achish says. And Achish believed everything David said. He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. And he said, oh, he's going to be my servant forever. Oh, no, he ain't. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. And we'll see later. But I tell you, unbelief, to the thing that happened, the thing that sets this apart more than anything else about David. And he said, and who read it? Who read the 51st Psalm last week? Somebody read the 51st Psalm. And David says, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Well, that's what happened here. And David, when he said in his heart, I have to escape, he left off fearing men more than he feared God. And unbelief prevailed in his life for 16 long months. Oh. Now that just don't make sense. That's what God says. That's what he said about it. So the next time you get really, really down on somebody, really get hard on them about something they're doing, someplace they're going, or something that they're saying, or some way that they act, just remember this. Unbelief is a terrible thing. And it'll lead you to do some terrible things, won't it? Our Father, our Father, blessed, blessed Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for meeting with us tonight. Thank you for your word. God, bless it to our hearts, bless it to our understanding, bless it to our faith. Oh Lord, please, please keep us. Oh, keep us cleaving, keep us believing, keep us trusting. Please leave us not to ourselves. Please leave us not to the thoughts of our own heart and the devices of our own heart. Leave us not to our flesh. Oh, God, please don't do that. Don't do that for Christ's sake. Lord, you said that we're but dust, we're just flesh. And you know our frames, that we're just dust. So Lord, we look to you to preserve us, to keep us. And Lord, to never help us by your grace to ever take our eyes off of you. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, grant it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. 327 in the hymn book. I think we sang this to Majestic Sweetness. I think that's right. 327. Yes. Yeah. I like this song.